This presentation is not going to show the newest shiny QGIS feature. If you expected that, please leave and come back in half an hour. But it's more about how we work as a project and behind the scenes work and some of the progress we have in QGIS and challenges we have and so on. So QGIS started in 2002 as a PostGIS viewer, and today it is the most popular open source desktop GIS. It's also the second most popular GIS after Esri ArcGIS, and it's translated in 48 languages. Maybe it's even more now. I haven't checked lately. And the very nice thing which makes QGIS stand out also is that it's available for Linux, Windows, Mac, and even on Android in another version, QField. We release every 4 months with LT releases, long-term support releases every year. And that was a very good decision a couple of years back that we introduced the time-based release schedule. Before that, we always had discussions when to release. We're never going to have a perfect state for release. So now it was very clear at this date, there is feature freeze, and then months later, we're going to release. It's an amazing cartography toolkit with Atlas serial printing and report generation. It's also a powerful analysis and model builder platform with processing. It's a mobile data collection solution. We have QField on Android, QGIS Home on Windows, and there's now also QGIS Input. And it's not just a desktop application, it's a platform for developers to build custom solutions. And if you're listening to talks here, you will often see QGIS with different user interfaces, but in under the hood, it's QGIS. So it has, for example, I've seen a geology implementation today, which has a different user interface for tablets. Or the Swiss Army in Switzerland is using QGIS with a couple of thousand installations, but you don't see it at all that it's QGIS. And it's also an OGC server, which makes it really easy to style, label, and print data. Comes with several web clients, QGIS Web Client 2, ListMap, GISQuick, and others. If you want to measure the success of QGIS, it's not so easy to tell, but what we can have a look at is from Google Trends, have a look at the search volume. So the blue line here is the QGIS, the red line is ArcGIS, Esri, and the yellow line is MapInfo. And this is the worldwide search volume. If you look at certain countries like France, we already, according to Google users, the most interesting GIS. And that pattern repeats in many other countries. For example, Italy, Germany, Japan, Brazil. It's almost everywhere the same, except for one little country, the United States, where you can see Esri has a very strong grip on government and also companies. So we often get the question, how many QGIS users are there? And yeah. Do you have an idea how many? A million? Four?
It should be around a million.
Could be, I don't know. Simply, we don't know. There's no registration, there's no user ID, no license checks. How could we know? So maybe my estimate is more moderate. I think it's a six-figure number, maybe. But I can't tell if it's 100,000, 200, 300. what we know is we have website statistics from Cloudflare, and any idea how much traffic the QGIS website generates per month? It's more than 100 terabytes, but it's mainly downloads, of course. We have 750,000 users per month, unique visitors. And the interesting thing, even if there's not so much interest in US for searching, it seems on Cloudflare it's the top country for some reason, I don't know. Maybe they just assign every country they don't know to the US. No, I don't know. So what makes QGIS a success? I very much think it's the people in the project. It's you as a user, and it's you as a contributor. It's always fun to have these contributor meetings, and the other thing is certainly the internet, which enables worldwide collaboration around the world. And all these nice developer tools we have these days, GitHub, GitLab. Without that, it would be much more difficult, I think. So QGIS is a team effort, and we, as a community, we want to be inclusive, friendly, respectful, and welcoming. And we invite you to join, of course. So these people, they are translating QGIS, they build the documentation and website, and they test and submit bug reports, they develop new features, they fix bugs and issues, they maintain the QGIS infrastructure. Some of them maintain GitHub and review pull requests. Some of them maintain continuous integration, like Travis, maintain the issue tracker. Some people release QGIS and package it. That's also a lot of work always. And teaching QGIS, creating courses, reviewing training material. This is for the certification program we have. Some people write plugins, manage the plugin submissions. Some donate and sponsor. Some handle the accounting. Some run user groups, organize local events, developer meetings, and so on. These are some of the faces behind QGIS, some developers, some contributors. It's certainly not a complete list, but I invite you to talk to them. Maybe half of them are here at the conference. And let's discuss, because the talk is State of QGIS, what we achieved in the past year. So we released QGIS, of course. 3.4 was released as the LT version and the in-between releases. And we're going to release 3.10 soon, in about a couple of weeks. And a major achievement recently was that we have a new macOS installer, an all-in-one installer without the requirement to install any frameworks or libraries before. And I think the Mac users are quite happy about it. Then one major infrastructure change we had is switching from Redmine to GitHub as an issue tracker. And the developers like that because it's better integrated with the code. And the users like it because they can more easily copy-paste images, and it has a more modern interface. Then another achievement is the plugin ecosystem is growing fast. Of course, some of you know we had strong API breaks between 2 and 3, and that meant that all of the plugins couldn't load anymore in QGIS 3.x, but now we have more than 400 plugins back again, so that's nice. And we had a QGIS conference and contributor meeting in A Coruña in March, I think it was March. And on the organization level, we replaced the sponsorships with sustaining memberships. This has two or three reasons. One reason is previously governments couldn't easily donate towards QGIS because they can't donate or sponsor, but they can be a member in an organization. And so we hope that this allows some government organizations to support QGIS better. And the other thing is it has also a tax reason. Sponsorships are subject to VAT, but memberships are not. And Tim moved to Portugal, by the way. Another achievement. He's closer to the QGIS crowd now. These are releases, and of course, I'd like to mention that there is a version end of life. 2x is receiving no bug fixes anymore. So if you're still on 2x, please try to move relatively quickly. We also don't know when, because the Qt is an older version and it might stop to work with a new operating system. So that's another reason to move to QGIS 3x. 3.4 is the current LTR and 3.10 will be the next one. Yeah, I'm going to skip this slide briefly because we need to catch up. I invite you to consult the visual change logs for the new releases. They have a very nice summary of what changed with screenshots and videos. And I'd like not only to mention the successes, but also the things we struggle with as a project, because we certainly have growth problems with so many new users and contributors. It's getting harder to maintain this. We have a lot of user feedback, a lot of bugs, issues, reports, wishes, etc., and we are a bit overwhelmed with like when we compare our resources compared to what the users want. And one issue we have, it's not really a bad one, but it's totally different. QGIS is developed bottom-up, not top-down. So it's not the PSC that decides, okay, next version will have this and this feature, but it's you as the users who sponsor features. So we don't know as the PSC what will end up in the next couple of releases. So, and also we as PSC, we don't have any employees, so we cannot say, okay, please, can you fix this issue? But we can only try to make resources available to developers to fix issues. One issue we always have is balancing voluntary work with paid work, because some people do contribute voluntarily, some as paid developers. A major issue we always have is finding people willing to contribute towards documentation, because it's a there's some hurdle to learn all the tools, and it's not so easy, and of course it's not always easy to understand all the new features and document them. We struggle getting the visual change logs right in time, so maybe they appear a couple of days after the release, which is also not nice, but that's just the way it is. And we have limited resources to tutor new contributors. That's just a fact, but we try our best to help contributors to feel at home. So, of course, the finances is always also a limited budget. I have 5 minutes. Huh? Okay. I'd like to briefly cover our quality assurance efforts. What do we do to make sure that we don't get, like a new feature doesn't hurt existing features? So we have something called QGIS enhancement proposals. Whenever something like a larger new feature is introduced, developers are supposed to open a QAP, QGIS enhancement proposal. It describes what they are intending to change, and then if there are any side effects, and then the core developers can chime in and discuss whether that's a good approach or not, or whether this shouldn't end in core, but as a plugin maybe. So that's the QA piece. Then what is? We also have unit tests and a test suite for processing. We have code scans against race conditions, and we have the continuous integration. So every new pull request is compiled on a CI system, continuous integration, and you can see from these check marks, the red cross means some tests didn't complete successfully, and the green means it's okay. And if that's the case, either the test is broken or your change destroyed something in QGIS. So if you have a bug, don't sit and wait. But if you can, you can fix it yourself, or you can sponsor someone to do the fix, or you can do a donation towards QGIS. Because most of our funds go into bug fixing, actually. And if your business relies on QGIS, consider to place a support contact with the core developers. Let me quickly... go through. So this is our income. Any suggestions how much that would be per year? Any guesses? Not bad, yeah. No, it's actually 150,000 income we have. And most of it comes from sponsorships. Now it's the sustaining members. And the other is donations. And we also have training certificates and contributions to bug fixes. And our expenses had been higher last year. But this is mainly because we had QGIS 3.0 around and a lot of issues around that. But half of it goes into bug fixing. And then we also have QGIS grants program and packaging work and developer meetings, API documentation. Yeah, that's the expenses mainly. Okay, I think I would have too much material here, but I'm going to end. At the very end, I would mention the user groups. Those are our local ambassadors. And if your country is not that green here, maybe you can start an initiative and create a local user group. They organize user meetings, workshop, and they are a contact towards the central organization of QGIS. We invite you to follow QGIS on Twitter, on GitHub, but better be a part of QGIS. And of course, it's better to be active than being just like a passive follower. Thanks for using QGIS, and thanks for supporting us.
Thank you, Andreas. I would have loved to listen a bit more to all of this. I'm sure you would have plenty of more to tell us and to tell to anyone who will come up to you after the presentation somewhere. I'm sure there are also some questions in here, so we'll have 5 minutes time to shoot questions at Andreas here. How to become a part of QGIS.
Everyone happy.
Whoopie. If not, I'm sure he can show us some additional slides. Someone wants to build a local user group and doesn't know how to do that. Someone wants to double up the budget.
can show more pictures from Hackfest.
Since you have the picture of the Hackfest, maybe you can tell people how to organize one.
Yeah, the Hackfest, basically, if you want to organize a Hackfest, the benefit you will have, your name will appear on a splash screen. That's a very nice incentive. So we will have a Bucharest version of QGIS in the future. And what you should provide is a space for the contributors to meet. That's maybe somewhere between 25 and 50 people who gather usually. And we need proper Wi-Fi or network connection. We need coffee, some food, in the evening beer. And that's basically what you need to do to organize, more or less. I mean, also inform people how to get there and organize and how to get accommodation. But
thank you.
There's also a user conference this once a year, so that's a bit bigger to organize, I think.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about how to set up a local chapter in another country?
It's not very bureaucratic. What you should do is register a domain like qgis.yourcountry, and you should stay independent of a company, so representing the users of your country and not turning it into a commercial thing. And then try to stay in touch with QGIS.org, and you can approach the PSC and tell what you do and what's your website, what are your user meetings. Of course, it would help if you publish the user meetings so we can include it in our website, so to show when these events happen. But the main thing is organizing user meetings and user workshops in your country and try to bring them together.
Hi, Andreas. Do you have an active marketing tool? It's here, me. Do you have an active marketing strategy to attract some funding for mainly companies who are heavily using QGIS or renewing their or their subscription to a sponsorship program comes to an end?
Well, we have the sponsorship program. You can find that it's not sponsorship anymore, it's sustaining members. You can find that information on our website, and most of the cases it's the local people or the companies who have the connections with the potential sponsor, and they invite them to join our organization by being a sustaining member. Of course, I also, if I know someone, I try to reach out personally, but other than that, not. We have Raymond to distribute stickers and all the marketing materials. But that's about it. Yeah.
Thank you.
But if you have any ideas how to improve that, please come and we'll discuss it.
Thank you very much for the questions, and Andreas, a lot for your talk. We have now 5 minutes to switch rooms.